Welcome to Heart of the Father Ministries and the preaching and teaching ministry of Dr. David Nichols. Our prayer for you is that this message will pierce your heart and raise you into your place of destiny in Jesus Christ.
But I want to start today by having you turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to lay a foundation here today. How many of you believe God's getting ready for something big? Hallelujah. I mean, nationwide, worldwide. Hallelujah. I'm still out of my mind, by the way. I haven't gone back in. I'm very educated, but I'm out of my mind, and I'm getting into the mind of Christ. That's where I believe we need to be. Amen? And I believe that God is going to shake this nation for His glory. This nation has got to repent. It's really the first thing. This nation, I believe, will see the signs and wonders that were seen in the book of Acts. I'm talking about in towns, and not just on TV, okay? TV is great. Praise God for it. Some certain ministry can be done in that. But I'm talking about what people see right in front of them in their own life world, in towns and villages and cities all over America. Hallelujah. And it's coming. It's coming soon. But I believe right in the middle of it is going to be the release of the gifts of the Spirit at a level that amazes us. And so I want to just lay this foundation here this morning. Let's read in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. When that prayer gets answered, what happens is the order, the protocol, the polity, everything that is going on in heaven is available to be released on earth. And what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, is they are particular individual manifestations for a certain situation, for a certain problem in a person's life, for a certain challenge that someone is standing in front of, so that the power of God can burst through, so that heaven can be released on earth. God has everything under control in heaven. There's no question about that, isn't that right? Where things are in question is here on the earth, because there's another kingdom that has set itself up, a kingdom based on pride, lawlessness, rebellion, all everything you can imagine that is bad and evil, this kingdom is into it. It's called the kingdom of hell. And the world that you and I live in is a world that is enmeshed in a pitched battle between these two kingdoms. That's why we have to constantly pray, as Jesus taught us here, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the great ways that is accomplished is by the gifts of the Spirit. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if we could turn over there quickly, I just want to read a verse there. We'll be back in there, I'm sure, tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night. But I want to read verses 4 through 6, or 7, actually. The Apostle Paul says this by the Holy Spirit. He says, There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that is really the foundation we want to lay here today, is for you to realize that there is a manifestation of the Spirit that God is wanting to assign to you, and actually an anointing upon your life and upon your ministry for one or more of these gifts to flow out of you and be given to people in your life world. I know it gets quiet when we start saying that, because you're here and you see Pastor Pete and you see me and Sherry. Okay, you guys have the manifestation of God, so give us some gifts. We're very willing to do that. We already have started it already in this service, and it's wonderful. But if we are really going to do our jobs, we are going to equip you for the work of the ministry, and you begin to realize that there is a manifestation of the Spirit of God that is to rest upon you. Hallelujah. You're a saint. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him right now, I am a saint. Everybody hold their finger up like this. Point it right at your neighbor and tell him, you are a saint too. Saints are not dead people that we pray to with these little statues, okay? Sorry. All you former Catholics. That is not what saints are in the Bible. Saints are living people who gather together to worship God and to be in His house and to love one another and to take His name and His message out to this dying world. Amen? That's what a saint is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And saints have manifestations put on them. Hallelujah. And when that manifestation works by the Holy Spirit, someone gets a gift. Hallelujah. And so I want to start with this today. It's not so much for you to receive the gift as it is for you to be the person that gives the gift away. What you get from the Holy Ghost is the manifestation of the gift, the anointing, the unction to bring it forth. The giving of the gift is your obedience to the Holy Spirit to flow in that thing and let a gift be given to someone who is in need to receive it. Hallelujah. And it's awesome when it happens. A thing that begins to happen with these manifestations is we begin to see with God's viewpoint. There will be a greater release of the gifts of the Spirit when we allow God's viewpoint to be the reigning view. Now, I am a guy, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do watch the news and some news shows and stuff like that, and one thing that is continuing to grind me more and more and more as I watch TV is the panel of experts. Does that ever get to you? Now over here in this corner, we got Dr. Fahrenheit. He's got more degrees than a thermometer, and he's going to tell us all about the intricacies of the details of the theories of the lady. I used to live in that world, by the way. It's an interesting world. And then, you know, we got Miss Economic Wizardess here. She's got this all figured out. She's a Wall Street guru of the woo. Here's our panel of experts. And what they do then is they give you their opinion. And then you begin to form your opinion. And we all live here in this wonderful nation where the First Amendment gives us the right to have an opinion and express it to other people. At least we used to have a constitution. I'm not sure we still do, but well, that's a subject for another day. Pray for the Constitution, seriously. It's under assault hugely right now. It really is. But you do have a right to have an opinion. But I'm here to tell you today there's one opinion that you better get tied into. The one who created the ability to have an opinion. Hallelujah. The one who was around before there were opinions by anyone else. The living Lord God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Get tuned into His opinion, because every place Where there is a need for a release of the gift of the Spirit, there is an opportunity for God's opinion to come and triumph. And God's opinion is the one that really matters. Because it's filled with love. It's filled with power. It's filled with mercy. It's filled with anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when, God doesn't just give an opinion as a, well, you know, I think this should happen, you know, maybe someday. God, when God gives his word, with it comes the ability for the accomplishment of it. Hallelujah. Like it says in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. Both the word itself and the power to go with it, the anointing to accomplish it. So, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, they are an important part of God's rain coming down out of heaven, rain, R-E-I-G-N, his rain coming down from heaven to earth. Now here's what I believe. I believe when the gifts of the Spirit are released and are in operation, they will establish God's will on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Everybody just scream right out loud, what is God's will, doctor?
What is God's will, doctor?
Okay, Matthew chapter 8 would be one good place to look. Hallelujah. Much of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, not all, but much of it is arrayed at getting people's physical conditions in line with the kingdom of heaven. In other words, by healing, by miracles, by demons being ejected from people's lives. Hallelujah. And the will of God is very important for you to understand the will of God. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, it says, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, now, Mr. Leper, today is your lucky day. It's not always God's will. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but you hit the jackpot, and so you can be healed here today. Excuse me, I was reading from the UV, the unbelief version. Okay. No, the real Bible says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Hallelujah. Let's all say that together. I am willing. That's what Jesus said, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When the gifts of the Spirit are manifested through the lives of the saints into the earth, the will of God is established. Two big parts of his will. Number one, he is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you are involved in something that is going to help an individual or a group of people come to repentance, you are in God's will. Can you say amen to that today? He is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. We just saw here in Matthew chapter 8, his will in healing. If you are involving yourself in the release of something that is bringing deliverance, healing, ministry into someone's life, you are in God's will. Hallelujah. Now, we'll see in our session tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night, it gets more specific than that, but we're laying the foundation here. Please understand, when you are in these two things, you're in God's will. As you trust him and believe him and lean on him, he will sharpen you, he will focus you, he will let you become more specific until you are very dangerous against the enemy's kingdom. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor right now and tell him, I'm dangerous. Yeah, do that snarl when you do. Do it again. I'm dangerous. Hallelujah. I see a bunch of dangerous people in here today. Hallelujah. You guys might actually start doing this stuff. Hallelujah. Arr. It comes to you sometimes when you least expect it. Now, I do this all the time. This is my life. This is my ministry, traveling around and preaching across the nation and in different parts of the world. But there are times for me when I'm just walking around in life where this stuff happens. Hallelujah. I was preaching up on the north end of Chicago about a month and a half ago. And I went to Walmart on a certain day to get some stuff. Walmart, pretty normal American experience there. Go to Walmart, right? I got my stuff. I'm walking out of the store. I'm out in the parking lot, and this lady of a different race than me comes walking up to me with an empty gas can in her hand. And she says, "Sir, I need your help. I was just in the store, and I spent all my money, and I don't have enough gas in my car to go home." Now, I used to live in the inner city. I know that people do things to get money and all of that, but you know what? I have been commanded into mercy. And I have been commanded to love. And I also am a person who has the manifestation of the Holy Ghost on me. Gifts of the Spirit might come out of me and be given to someone in Walmart parking lot. I know they will in church. The place I really want to see it start, and I do more and more in church, but I want to see it happen at Walmart. I want to see it happen in the grocery store, at the gas station. Hallelujah. And if you'll just take a moment sometimes, you'll be amazed at what can happen. So I looked at this lady, and I honestly felt mercy coming up in me. I know it could be a scam. I used to live in that kind of a neighborhood. People always doing stuff with gas cans and whatever. I pulled $3 out of my wallet, and I gave it to her. I said, "Oh, thank you so much." But then the Holy Ghost hit. I said, "Hang on a minute here. What about that pain in your neck?" All of a sudden, I knew she had a pain in her neck. She said, "How do you know that?" I said, "God just told me." "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, let's pray for that and get rid of that." We pray for it, standing there in the Walmart parking lot. The pain goes out of her neck. She said, "This is awesome, man. This is better than church. Oh, hallelujah." And she's hugging on me and the only thing I could do is say, "Jesus loves you. You got to be right with him." "Oh, thank you so much." Even if someone's trying to scam you, and I don't know if she was or not, that's not for me to decide. I've got a verse in the Bible about this. It says, "Give to him who asks of you." Now, I know there's some times when you probably shouldn't. Believe me, I've lived there. But there are many times where the mercy of God can capitalize on a situation and change someone's whole perspective. To not having any money and life is bad and all that, and boom, an encounter with the living God and her neck gets healed at Walmart. Hallelujah. I like it. Hallelujah. That lady cannot say that God is not real. She knows he's real because she encountered him there in that parking lot that day. So, the gifts of the Spirit will establish God's will. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit will establish God's glory. That's the second thing. Over in Isaiah chapter 60, I want to read a few verses from there. I believe we can be bold in this because it's not our fame, it's not our reputation, it's not really about us. It's only about us in the sense that someone who believes in God, a saint of Jesus Christ, just has to be there in the situation. Be it a group, be it at work, be it here in church, wherever it is. The glory of God and the release of that glory is the real issue. The more glory that God can get, the better that prayer is going to be answered. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God gets glory. Look at verse 1 in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. The president of Burundi has come to the brightness of his rising. Hallelujah. Let me give you some hope today. Hallelujah. The president of Burundi is a Christian. He's a real Christian, not just a Christian in name. And he has a sound truck. It's a big semi-type truck with a generator and speakers and a stage. And he pulls up with it when he's not doing his president duties. He pulls up on it on a street corner in a town in Burundi, flips open the speakers. The worship team stands out there, starts singing. The instruments start playing, and a crowd gathers. The president's here. When they're done worshiping Jesus, he gets up and preaches and gives an altar call. Hallelujah. And people get saved. Hallelujah. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Someone ministered Jesus to that guy, and he is now a president of a nation in a place of influence, and he's bringing Jesus. And the glory of God is beginning to come over a nation. It was one of the darkest places on the earth just a few years ago. It's amazing. Lift your eyes, verse 4. All around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. You shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord includes all of this. It includes influence and favor with people when you need it. It includes finances. It includes health. It includes the whole package, because the glory of the Lord is covering the earth with the intent and purpose of touching every human life. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:14. The glory of God revealed. I know I've told this story here before, but I'm going to tell it again. Hallelujah. Kalasapadu, South India. We saw the glory of God come to a field. We had 105,000 people on the grounds. I had never ministered to such a crowd before. The bishop had told me that there would be that many there. I kind of believed him. All right, I'll confess, I had a little unbelief in me. But he was right. In fact, he got healed on the way to the meeting, the bishop did. That was amazing. When we got up there to minister in front of that crowd, he gave the first testimony. That was awesome. That gave permission. It was amazing. And when we gave the altar call, well, this is what he told me. He said, I have 30 to 35,000 of my church members trained in this whole region. This wasn't just one village. This was a whole region-wide thing. And he said, on this day, December 2nd, every year, they bring their business associates, their neighbors, their family members, Hindus and Muslims from all over, and they love to come to this place. He said, there'll be 35,000 Christians, and there'll be 70 to 80,000 Hindus and Muslims. And he said, I want you to give them Jesus in healing and salvation. I said, hallelujah. And so we did. People started getting healed. Hallelujah. A guy got his sight back in his eyes. It was amazing. It was an amazing night. But when the glory of God is manifested, there are things happening many times that you don't even know they're happening at the time they're happening. It's almost like overflow, excess of how powerful God is. And it was that way that night. When we gave that altar call, and I never said anything in the message that night about the Holy Spirit or about the baptism in the Spirit. The whole night was all about healing of the body. We did that first. And then I preached a very simple message on John 3, the new birth. That's what the whole night was. 67,000 people confessed Jesus that night as Savior and Lord in one call to the gospel. There was no way to even have them move. 105,000 people is two football fields full of people packed in way tighter than you'd be comfortable with. But it's India, so you can really pack them together. We know that number because that's how much follow-up literature our boys handed out to the people that were holding up their hands after we prayed. People were weeping. People were sobbing. People were getting right with God. But what was happening that we didn't know that was the overflow of the glory of God, this is what happened at the very end. Myself and the team fighting our way through that crowd to get to the vehicles. This was about almost midnight, by 11:30. To get to the vehicles to try to go back to the hotel. Dozens of people stopped, team members and myself, and they were saying things like this. Please explain this to me. This fire is on me now. I'm talking in this language. I don't know what this is. What happened to me? And we had to tell them, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what the baptism of the Spirit was, and it was happening to them by the overflow of the glory of God. No one had trained them in it. No one had taught about it. It was just so much of Jesus was there that there was such an abundance that he just overflowed. Probably hundreds of people who... many of them, I'm sure, came as Christians but didn't know about this. There was so much of God there, they got the next step, hallelujah, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. That was amazing. But that's what happens by the gifts of the Spirit. I operated in several gifts of the Spirit that night. I manifested them and people received them. So did other people in the ministry there that night. It was amazing. The glory of God was established, hallelujah. Expect it. Huh. If you take the time to hang out in God's presence daily, expect that His glory is on you. Therefore, where you go, you see what we do so many times, well, we come to church and we build one another up and we get excited and we do and praise God for that. Things happen, gifts of the Spirit, so forth. And then we walk through that door there, we kind of leave the glory back here. Now we'll come back and get the glory later. What if you let the glory of God be on you as you walked out of the door? What about in your house tomorrow morning when you go out, if you walked out of your house door with the glory of God going into your workplace? Hallelujah. It would begin to change some things. God's glory will not let any situation remain static. It will begin to conform to heaven. Hallelujah. Because His kingdom comes, remember, and His will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you might not see a radical transformation all in 1 hour, all in 1 day. Expect that the permeation of that glory of God that you carry in there is going to make things better and better and better until people start asking, what is this Jesus? What about all this gospel thing? What is this? It's going to happen. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. All right, one more. The gifts of the Spirit prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are excited about the second coming of Jesus? Get excited. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's the next thing. Hallelujah. Yes, give him some praise. Now I want to share a passage here out of 1 Corinthians 13 that has, it's a strong candidate for one of the most abused passages in the Bible. And we are founding the Society to Prevent Scripture Abuse. Okay? Everybody okay with that? The Society to Prevent Scripture Abuse. Amen? Okay, let's read it in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Remember, please, Right between chapter 12 and chapter 14 is the love chapter, which teaches us so very powerfully and very clearly that these gifts operate by love. Very strong difference and contrast between these two kingdoms that are at war with each other. The kingdom of hell operates by hate, by pride, by greed, by lust, all those evil things. The kingdom of heaven, its key operative principle is love. And the carnal mind, the natural mind, says, well, that can never win against all this terrible stuff. I mean, this is, And God says, oh, yes, it can. It has already won many battles, and we ultimately will win this motivational power and grace that is called love. That's why it's in there, right between the two powerful chapters on the gifts of the Spirit. So in verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now the abuse of this scripture is by groups that have said, okay, the gifts of the Spirit were here, and there was a time for them. Some of these people say 70 A.D., some say with the death of the last apostle, some say at the end of the first century. But now the gifts of the Spirit aren't anymore. Healings, miracles, tongues, prophecies, all that. Now we just have the scriptures and salvation. That's it. Very interesting. Well, that, I will submit to you today, is an abuse of scripture. Because the thing that is perfect that is coming is the second coming and the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get ready for it. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to reign and rule with Him. How many of you think that there needs to be some straightening out of reigning and ruling here on the surface of this earth? Personally, I have asked to be governor of Minnesota. Okay. I think I can improve things over there. First thing that's going to go is all these slot limits on fish. You know, that's out of here. No, I'm kidding. But righteousness is going to rule over this earth with a king that comes here and sits on his throne in the city of Jerusalem. His name is Jesus. And it won't be Washington, D.C. either, and it won't be Moscow, and it won't be Rio de Janeiro. It'll be Jerusalem. Can you say amen to that today? And it'll be Jesus. And you and I will be reigning with Him. But understand this: the gifts of the Spirit are temporary in this sense. From the time Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit and through this whole church age until the time of the second coming, that is the time of the gifts of the Spirit. The perfect is coming. He's coming back. He is the perfect one. Hallelujah. He didn't say, do this for two generations and then it's all going to end, you know, then just kind of figure it out for yourself, guys, because no more gifts will operate anymore. No. The gifts of the Spirit are constantly pointing forward to the second coming of Jesus. He's coming. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19. If you're a gambling person, bet all your money on the white horse in the last race. Hallelujah. It's a winner. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11. Here's the difference. This is a whole message in itself that I'm not going to preach here today, but I am going to share this with you. The gifts of the Spirit have the power to open heaven. Remember, we saw Matthew chapter 6. Pray that prayer. In needs, in situations, heaven gets opened upon earth. Someone has a word of knowledge. Someone has a prophecy. Someone operates in gifts of healings where a person needs a healing. All of a sudden, heaven opens and it does its work on earth. Now, those don't keep heaven open after that happens. But here in verse 11, there's a very wonderful statement. Everybody scream right out loud, "I'm hungry, doctor!
I'm hungry, doctor!
Feed me some Greek, doctor!"
Feed me some Greek.
The verb here in the first part of verse 11 is in the perfect tense. That means an event occurs whose implication continues on and on and on and on and on right out into the future. Everyone scream right out loud, "Say that again, doctor!"
Say that again, doctor.
A perfect tense means an event occurs as a point in time, but then begins forward as a line into the future.
Okay.
Get that? That's the perfect tense. Now here's what it says. I saw heaven opened. Now let me translate it for you with that perfect tense in mind, okay? I saw heaven opened and it stayed open. Hallelujah. It didn't close back up again. See, gifts of the Spirit can open heaven, but it closes back up. The gifts of the Spirit, a prophecy, a healing, a word of knowledge, boom, in a point in time they happen. But heaven doesn't stay open in the sense that it does here. But when this happens, hallelujah, heaven opens up upon the earthly realm and it doesn't close up again. Jesus comes out of those clouds riding on a white horse. You and I are going to be with him. Can you say amen?
Oh,
yeah. Hallelujah. He is going to conquer the beast. He's going to conquer the devil. The devil himself is going to be grasped, seized by a mighty angel and thrown into the abyss. Hallelujah. That's where that turkey belongs. It's a custom-made spot for him. The abyss. Get in there and stay in there 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Can you imagine 1,000 years on this earth with Satan locked up? I want to be there. I want to see that. I want to live that, experience that. Prosperity, righteousness, salvation, healing, the glory of God everywhere. Governments, economics, politics. You name it, everything is going to become subject to the glory of God. Stay awake for it. It's going to be good. Seriously. Hallelujah. If I were you, I'd get excited about it. But the gifts of the Spirit, every time there's a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit, it's like a jab. We're that much closer to this big one when heaven opens up and it stays open. Hallelujah. So, one final story here today. Everybody scream right out loud, "Just tell us one more, doctor!"
Just tell us one more, doctor!
Okay, here it is. How do you get people who believe that scripture abuse thing there that I talked about? Yeah, there were gifts once, but now they aren't anymore. I used to have an answer to that when I was a Pharisee. You get them to sit down at a table and you get a Greek New Testament and a Hebrew Bible and some other biblical tools. You say, "Listen here, you boob. You know, I am going to show you what this really means. I am the Herminator." I was, by the way. Part of my checkered past, you know, my testimony. You get guys up here, "I was a drug addict, man. You know, I sold drugs to people. I was a pimp, you know, and Jesus came and set me free." That's not my testimony. I was a theology professor. And Jesus came, Pete, and he set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do you get people to believe the fullness of what the Word really says? Well, here's one, and I know I've told this one here before too, but it fits here so well, I have to tell it to you this morning. I can't stop myself, okay? That's right. This happened in a city in India called Kolkata. We were having a wonderful time in our crusade there. had wonderful cooperation from the pastors in the town, and they decided to have a women's conference at the same time as our pastor's conference in two different locations. And so on the day that was supposed to start, I went to the pastor's conference, got it going, had a speaker in there, one of the team members, and then I took Sherry over to this other location, which was a church on the other side of town. I dropped her off at the door. This is where it was. Hundreds of ladies were gathering there. And I turned to go back to the vehicle. I am the next speaker. My mind is focused. My mind is clear. I've got a message I'm going to bring to about 150 pastors. Except standing in my path there is the pastor of this church where I just dropped Sherry off. And he could speak English. And he says, "Oh, Brother Nichols, you're here." I said, "Yeah, I just dropped my wife off for the women's conference." And I was about to say, "And I'm headed back to the pastor's conference." And he said, "Oh, you must come over to the house for tea and crumpets." My mind wasn't on tea and crumpets. And I want you to understand today that some of the best opportunities to release the power of God seem like interruptions in your day. Get ready. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the rest of the days of this week. Have a transformation of your mindset and expect that when you get an interruption, it might actually be God there, in the circumstances, in the people, in all of that, with a marvelous opportunity to have his power and love break in. So I somehow knew that was the case here with this guy, and so I said, "Okay, I'll come." So the pastor's house was right across the courtyard there, so we went over there, and I'm sitting in the house, eating the tea and drinking the crumpet. I mean, drinking. I'm out of my mind, you know, so that's okay to do that stuff. And there we are, and his wife, Agnes, is seated there in a couch right across from me, and he's in this chair, and he's telling me all this stuff that's wrong with Agnes, how she's had this 8 years of terrible condition in her legs, started out as pain, now it's paralysis, she can't walk. And he's given me all these details of this. And while this explanation is going on, the Holy Spirit is just downloading into me, "Pray for this woman, pray for this woman." And I'm talking to God while I'm talking to him. I'm like, I will. But you know, we've got to have the tea and crumpets first. So we get done with that, and I look right at this man, this pastor. He was about 70 years old. I look at him, and I say to him, "God wants to heal your wife today. Let's pray for her." And he looked kind of shocked. And she could stand up for brief periods of time, but she could not walk. So she stood up, and he was sitting on this chair. I'll never forget how that was, and I looked down at him, and I said, "Sir, help me pray for her. Let's pray." And he goes something like this, and I'm like, So I lay my hand on her head, and I start praying. I was saying all the right words, and there was a measure of the presence of God there, but I knew we weren't breaking through, so I stopped. And I looked down at him again. He's just sitting on his chair there. And I said, "Sir, this is your wife. God's here. He wants to heal her. Please agree with me in prayer." And once again, he goes, something like that. I mean, I wanted to say, "Whatever, dude," but I didn't. He's my elder. I got to respect him. So I pressed back into praying for Agnes. And God came in power. And she was thrown back into that couch. And you'll understand in a minute here, they were not falling down, being thrown around type people. Okay, they were not used to that. And she went, boom, right into the couch. So his eyes were as big as saucers. And she's down in the couch, kind of out, you know, in the spirit. So I say, well, God bless you. I got to get to the pastor's conference. So I go out to the front of the house there. I'm sitting on a chair, putting my shoes back on. Now, when we come to your house here in the United States, we take off our shoes out of politeness. In India, there are some very practical reasons why you always take off your shoes when you go in a house or a church or a public building or anything. It's those buffalo and sacred cows. And sacred cows still poop, by the way. All those other animals walking around out there, those are the practical reasons why you take off your shoes. So I'm putting my shoes back on in the front of the house, and I look over my right shoulder, and here comes Agnes walking out of the house on her own steam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I said, was hallelujah. And two girls came from, and the husband kind of tagging behind her, you know, hey, 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 there she goes. And these two girls came from somewhere, and they led Agnes, but she was walking herself. They led her right into the back of the church. Sherry was trying to start her meeting, and the place went nuts because about half of these ladies, this is their pastor's wife who can't walk. Now she's walking. Hallelujah. So sorry about that, dear. So anyway, this was wonderful. So I get over to the pastor's school, and after the pastor's school is done in the early afternoon there, I was kind of standing around the front, and there were some local people from there and then some of our Indian team that we bring with us when we go there to these different towns. And we were just talking, and I said to myself, man, I'm going to tell them about that miracle that God did with Agnes. So I told that, and these local people started getting real quiet. And I was like, what's wrong, guys? You know, did I say something wrong here? And they said, well, sir, you need to understand that church where you said that miracle happened this morning. I said, yeah. That pastor and his wife and all that, that really happened, right? And I said, yeah, oh, yeah, it sure did. I saw it. They said, well, sir, that's a cessationist church. And everybody screamed right out loud, what is a cessationist church, doctor? A cessationist church is one where they believe Jesus healed the sick, they believe the apostles did it in the book of Acts, and then it all ended. And then it ceased, in other words, cessation. And there's different theories. Some say at the end of the book of Acts, some say at 100 AD, and all. There's different theories, but it ended, and it's not available now. That's basically the cessationist position. So I heard that, you know, here we are, where, you know, I didn't check first, by the way, before. And when I heard that from these local people, I said, oops. <You know? laughs> They don't believe in healing. No, the pastor's wife is healed. This is a problem, you know. What are you going to do? So honestly, I'm just being honest with you. I started getting down on myself a little bit that afternoon. I was like, I should have checked first, you know, hey, boy, you know. And I thought, you know, they were Pentecostals and all this. And so that night at the crusade, this pastor, where all this happened, came up to me and he said, I want the whole team to come over to the house for a meal. And he was kind of gruff like that, you know. I said, oh, yes, sir, we'd be glad to come. And I thought, oh, boy, now we're going to get it, you know. So we all went over there. We had a lovely meal at their house. At the end of the meal, he came, and he put his hand on my shoulder. And he went like this. And I said, okay, here it comes. So we go into this little room in the back of the house, and he starts digging in all these drawers and little chests that sit on top of a dresser. He's pulling out these x-rays and MRIs and medical records. He's showing me all this stuff that he's had done to him. And he looks up like a little boy and he goes, will you pray for me too? And And I am glad that I was delivered of being a Pharisee at that moment. Because if I hadn't been, I would have said, no, I'm not praying for you. You've told people your whole life that God doesn't heal. What do you think this is? But I didn't do that. I'm delivered of being a Pharisee. Hallelujah. I highly recommend it. If you've been raised in church, I highly recommend getting delivered of being a Pharisee. Hallelujah. Seriously. And I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And I laid my hand on his head, and the power of God came into that man, and some really good things happened. We didn't get any specifics right that moment, but the next morning, I stepped out of the hotel, right out onto the street of the city there, and there he was, standing with a group of people. And I walked over to him, and I chose my words very carefully because he's an English speaker. He's English as a second language is a wonderful thing, okay? As you can really hear some amazing stuff, okay? And I said to him, how are you today? And he looked right at me and he said, my body is very happy. And I said, what does that mean? Are you healed? And he would try to say the word healed. It was like he was allergic to the word yet. My body is very happy. I said, I'll take that testimony. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I've learned a lot of things by that experience. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to be innocent. Because I wasn't there trying to prove some agenda. I wasn't there trying to make them into Pentecostals. I don't even know what denomination they were. I just know that they were cessationists. And I want to tell you that God's love is able to break down barriers when the only agenda is for the advance of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that today? And when God looks down from heaven, God would just as soon heal people in a cessationist church as he would here. He's no respecter of persons. He's going to heal people here this morning. I have no doubt about it. In fact, he probably already has.
We trust this message has been a blessing to your spiritual life. You can contact us with any correspondence or donations for the support of this ministry at Heart of the Father Ministries, P.O. Box 300, Rush City, Minnesota 55069, or visit us online at heartofthefather.net, where you can purchase all of our products or donate online as well. Kingdom blessings on you.